Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of January 28th, 2021. Today, we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
Oh, I am in a very good mood today, celebrating some of the exciting things that are coming out of the White House for climate. It's a happy day for climate, and I can't wait to talk to you more about it. I'm doing quite well.
Good. Well, and so is the climate movement, I would say. Today, see, we're recording this on the 27th. Today was Climate Day at the White House. It was quite a day. And it was, as I would say, it's a big day for climate, but then we'd be paraphrasing our friend Gina McCarthy, who evidently was standing at the podium with the new press secretary who introduced John Kerry and Gina McCarthy at the same time and said, "It's a big day for Boston." And Gina McCarthy stepped up to the microphone and said, "Every day is a big day for Boston." God bless Gina McCarthy. Anyway, early this afternoon, President Biden was on TV talking about climate in a way that would made my heart sing. I think that he basically touched every note that needs to be touched by a president starting his administration. And I guess I wanted to kind of fill in. So what I thought we would do, Mariah, is the White House put out a fact sheet, which I think I'm happy to say in this day and age, a fact sheet from the White House actually does contain facts, right? Things that you can kind of believe. And I thought because there are so many interesting things, I thought we'd lightly touch on some of those. But the sort of atmospherics around what I saw today, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that President Biden gets many important things. And most of all, he gets the urgency and scope of the climate issue. And the things he's talked about respond in ways that you say, okay, that's good. That's a good thing to do. He has issued 3 executive orders, which are now not necessarily legislation. They're executive orders. They're things the president can do. Embodied in those things, as I say, is the urgency and scope of the issue. But in particular, there's things like the idea that the entire government needs to be involved across departments and prioritize climate instead of putting climate in a special silo that gets talked about once every 2 weeks, that climate issues are woven into everything. We'll come back to that. The president put environmental justice at the core of everything that is happening here, right? He came back to that quite explicitly, and also very much connected the question of addressing climate change with the economic benefits of jobs and growth and all the good things that would come from a robust climate response. And that's great. I mean, given the fact that even under Obama struggled to display that kind of scale and breadth and urgency and understanding, it's great to see Biden talking this way.
Yeah, well, and he has the social license that Obama didn't necessarily, right? You know, now there is a much greater demand to address climate change. And so as citizens of the United States, you know, good for us, good on us for making our voices heard and saying that this does matter to us.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think some of the high points, which we will go back through, but some of the kinds of the taste of the things that are included here is, of course, many of the things that came from the campaign, but he's committed to 100% clean energy by 2035. Right? That's a big challenge, a net zero goal by 2050. Now, we said that kind of stuff so often that you need to kind of shake your head and remind yourself that this is the president of the United States committing the United States to these kinds of goals. But there's other stuff that he said today. For example, he's calling for the government to triple the amount of conservation land that the United States has, right? 3 times more conservation land than we have now. That's a fantastic goal that we should all be working towards. He promised, to the extent possible, to stop the subsidies of fossil fuel industries. That's a great goal. He stopped by executive fiat saying no new leases for oil and gas and coal on federal lands. Again, this is something we've called for, and he's done it. He's done the very simple thing of saying, okay, going forward, every post office truck is going to be electric. Again, it's just this no-brainer thing, but he's doing it. So and as I sat and listened, I said, oh, this is good. So it was a happy day.
I mean, and just to add one more thing, I think across the board, not just for climate, he's giving back the podiums to the scientists, right? Here's a podium for you, and here's a microphone. You tell the public what you know so I don't mess up this information, because you are good at what you do. You are the expert in this, and you have really important things to share. And it's a really big deal now that we don't have an intermediary who's trying to sort of change the way that the information sounds to suit an agenda of some sort. That's a big, big, big deal for climate change and for COVID.
As part of the sort of meta message, I guess you could call it, right? The behind the text is this, well, it's explicit in the text, but he's also, recommitting to science. And there's some specific facts that the White House outlined today. So what I thought...
I mean, I think that that's one thing that really was a big concern, was that there was so much undermining of the scientists and the climate scientists in the United States, which had a global effect on the climate movement. And so by him putting back the sort of putting the wind back into those sails, it's really quite a big deal for the world in terms of addressing climate change, let alone just the United States.
Absolutely. Well, we'll come. That's the second point we'll get to. But the first, so if chucking down this list, right, that was in the fact sheet released by the White House, the very first thing is that they say that the orders that they're being issued are that climate considerations are an essential element of U.S. foreign policy and national security. Right. Again, that's the kind of statement from a president that redirects everything, the Defense Department, the State Department. I mean, it has to be woven in, and there's specifics further down of how that gets woven in. But it's a clear statement that this is an essential element. And one of the first things that follows on that is that because of the Paris Accord, the United States is going to exercise its leadership. Right, it's going to go in and do these things that we talked about of net zero by 2050, yada yada yada. But the U.S. will exercise its leadership.
That is going to ask you about, is it the so they're called nationally determined contributions or NDCs, mm-hmm. and we haven't been doing those. We haven't been sort of registering those because we pulled out of the agreement and. I mean, we didn't. We pulled out for 20 days, right? But we haven't been moving it forward. Is that what he's registering as his NDCs for the U.S. is 100% clean energy by 2035 and net zero by 2050?
Well, it turns out that the NDCs, again, in context, the nationally determined contributions are going to be relevant for the 2025 goal for carbon emissions that will be discussed in Glasgow in December of this year. Right. So, but in one of the talking points in this fact sheet released by the White House is to say that this executive order begins the process of determining our national contribution, which will be then sent to Glasgow. So they're beginning that process explicitly saying, yeah, we're on the case of that. In order to support this international leadership thing, President Biden will host on Earth Day, April 22nd, a leaders climate summit, right, which will bring in people from all the major economies to discuss climate change with President Biden here in the United States, exerting that kind of leadership that we need. He's appointed special envoys, right, for climate that'll be in the National Security Council, et cetera, et cetera. And he says this order kicks off the process of developing the United States' nationally determined contribution under the Paris Agreement. Right, so there you go. Because of the way we're putting this climate as central to the national security, the Director of National Intelligence has been told to make an estimate, a national intelligence estimate on the security implications of climate change, right? So if there's a, you know, the we've talked a lot about how things like drought kick off wars, which then come to our borders and refugees, right? And so there's lots of security implications of that. The other thing
I think it won't be a surprise to, you know, a lot of the generals and a lot of the security folks that this is becoming a high priority, because they're already on board with it. A majority of them are. You have a lot of the naval bases are starting to be inundated with water, right? The one in Virginia, I can't remember the name of it. Is it
Newport News?
Newport, yeah, yeah. That one's been inundated enough that they're like, yeah, no, we have problems with the ocean sea level rise. We need to do something about it. So there's a great movie. I'll try and figure out the name of it. But there's a great movie that talks about how a lot of the military is very concerned about climate change.
Absolutely. And the other thing that this thing orders is for the United States to submit the Kigali Accord. Right. So if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about air conditioners and stuff. So the Kigali Agreement, the Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol basically limits those sort of refrigerator gases that are so devastatingly powerful as greenhouse gases. They're super gases. And so we're going to make that an honest to God treaty. And Biden wants to get that through the Senate. Another talking point under these orders that the government will take, and there's a quotation mark here, a whole of government approach to the climate crisis, right? So they're going to have a White House Office of Domestic Climate Policy. I think that's Gina McCarthy. And there's a task force across 21 federal agencies that are supposed to coordinate the response to climate change across the federal government. Again, the right kind of plan. Right, the very kind of thing we've been calling for a lot. The plan calls for, and I'll quote, it directs federal agencies to procure carbon pollution-free electricity and clean zero-emission vehicles. Right, of course, made by union jobs, blah, blah, blah. But this is what I was saying before. This is just imagine the number of automobiles the federal government drives around, the post office alone. And when those all become electric, what a core market that will be for people like GM to provide the trucks that are battery. I mean, it's all the things we've talked about, but here finally Biden has put the White House imprimatur on it. And
I think it'd probably be Tesla that provides the trucks, right? Because they've already got them. They've already got those semi trucks.
You know that GM is going to be scrambling to get there, right? Because there's a lot of money to be had, and that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Another part of this wonderful executive order is that the order directs the Secretary of the Interior, who is now Deb Haaland, I think she's a Native American woman, directs the Secretary of the Interior to pause on entering new oil and gas leases on public lands or offshore waters. No more offshore drilling, no new offshore drilling, no new public lands going off, being used for extraction. Now, just to be clear, there are existing extraction processes underway on federal land. These are not affected because the executive order can't affect those. And of course, it does not ban fracking because that's a private operation. And again, the president doesn't have the power to do that. But it does the right thing of stopping, freezing the sort of grotesque, the previous administration, like I don't even want to mention my name, was rushing out new additional leases to get them off the books so that the oil and companies could have them. And that's been stopped. And of course, the order says that doesn't apply to lands held in trust for tribes. So now the whole sort of indigenous people justice issue gets to be discussed with their input. The other thing, I mean, this was so wonderful. The other thing the order does is to say that the order directs federal agencies to eliminate fossil fuel subsidies, which is like $40 billion a year. Eliminate fossil fuel subsidies as consistent with applicable law. And it's a question of whether or not the president can eliminate all fossil fuel subsidies without an act of Congress, but to the extent he can, he will. A good thing. He goes on, there are other things in here. This order signed today sets a goal of conserving at least 30% of our lands and oceans by the year 2030. So conserving 30% of the land area of the United States, that's pretty amazing, right? I know the feds own a lot out west, but I mean, that's a dramatic increase in the amount of land that's under protection. It's just, I think, just left to be, right? And with all of the climate benefits that that would have, right? This thing calls for a civilian climate corps. Establishment of a civilian climate corps initiative to put a new generation of Americans to work conserving and restoring public lands and waters, blah, 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 blah. But that's very reminiscent of FDR,
yeah,
the
CCC, right? It was a civilian conservation.
Conservation corps. Now yeah. We got the civilian
they did
climate corps.
All the trails and all of the, right.
Think of all the good. I mean, it's good in so many ways, right? It gives people an experience. It's going to take people that may not have the opportunity, you know, put them in a new world. Just, it's all a good thing. It's all a good
job,
thing.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Then let's see. It just keeps marching on all the good things. There's orders to assist coal, oil, and natural gas power plant communities, right? So now you're talking about the environmental justice. That's a whole other. This is the one I like. He is talking about a new interagency working group to advance projects that reduce emissions from abandoned infrastructure. Remember we talked a few weeks ago about all the thousands of orphan methane wells that are spread across the country that nobody owns and is too expensive to nobody wants to fix and cap? Well, President Biden says, yeah, we're going to have a project to put people to work going out and capping those wells, which is just fantastic, right?
Yeah.
That's what you want. In addition, they're going to be trying to turn brownfields into viable property for communities.
Yeah, clean up what you have instead of consuming the land that is needed for biodiversity, right?
Absolutely. And then, of course, it goes into, there's a whole section on secure environmental justice, right? So the order formalizes President Biden's commitment to make environmental justice a part of the mission of every federal agency by directing them to develop programs, policies, et cetera, to address the disproportionate health, et cetera, impacts on disadvantaged communities. I mean, that's fantastic, right?
That's
what you want. That is the centering. There's an Environmental Justice Council. And if you remember, we talked to maybe a year ago about an idea that now Vice President Harris had on the campaign trail of basically a equivalent of an environmental impact statement for environmental justice. Right? If you propose something, then you have to go through this checklist of who's going to be affected by it. And that would then go into whether or not a project gets adopted.
I mean, it's crazy that that's not already the case, right? That's just mind blowing that's something that we have to make a law about.
Right.
Exactly. What? Well, it should not be okay to build if you're going to end up polluting, you know, communities. I mean, geez.
But I mean, codifying it, right? That's how you stop it.
That's right.
And then they go on. So sort of towards the end, this all happened today. This is promulgated by the White House today. It's all fantastic. There are a presidential memorandum on scientific integrity and evidence-based policymaking, Mariah, as you were saying before, right? It's explicit in these executive orders that improper political influence, interference in the scientific process violates the public trust.
Yeah.
I mean, how can your heart be not warmed more than that? Right? there's a new, going to reinstitute various offices that some bad people took away from us, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it's just,
you know, I have to assume something this comprehensive and so, you know, with so much excellent detail, clear thought into it within 7 days of starting office. How long do you think they've been working on this?
Well, let me say this about that. If you remember a guy named Jay Inslee,
two years ago,
right?
Yeah.
He had what was called the gold plate plan. When Inslee dropped out, somebody else. Let's see. I
Warren,
forget
Elizabeth Warren.
Let's see. Elizabeth something. Elizabeth Warren took it in whole. Said, okay, the Inslee's plan is now my plan. And then when Biden came along, he effectively adopted the Inslee plan. So these things have been hashed out for a long time, right? Well thought out. And I think that so some commentary that I saw said that, Biden has, he has a lot of disparate interest groups here, all supporting this for the moment, right? But he's going to have to keep them all in line and cooperating, right? Because you can just imagine GM wants to build those electric vehicles, but maybe they want to put a plant someplace that's not so attractive from an EJ perspective. I mean, how is that all going
to... Or on conservation land, yeah.
Yeah, so there's bumpy stuff ahead. Although I think that one of the other observations I saw, because there's like a huge amount of stuff discussing this, how Biden is coming in with guns blazing. President Obama came in and he tried to pass legislation. He tried to do all the right things. And it wasn't until his second term that he started issuing executive orders out of frustration. And President Biden, 7 days in, boom, 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 he's got executive orders all over the place.
Yeah. Well, he's probably, a lot of it is that he's undoing the executive orders the flurry of them that came from the last administration, undoing a lot of protections for the environment. So it's like a counterbalance in some ways.
And you can, the other things that are, there's so many stars aligning that Chuck Schumer was on TV the other night saying how Chuck Schumer thinks that the president, Joe Biden, should declare a climate emergency equivalent. Now that we've set the president with a precedent with the former president of declaring emergencies when you were frustrated, right? That there actually is a climate emergency and good cause for giving the president more power. Although I'm not so sure we want to give any human being too much power in this country. But
using executive orders to pass things is not the best way to go about it. Sometimes in an emergency, you have to have top down management. You just have to. And we are certainly in an emergency, but you always want to avoid that kind of leadership. But I think he's been couching it by saying, I've heard repeatedly, we're in a climate emergency. We're in an urgent situation. And I think that that's a really good talking point. That's being a drumbeat that's being drilled, into everyone's head. And I think that's really necessary right now. So,
well, I think from the legislative side, as I say, it's very interesting. Mitch McConnell, right? I won't give him any descriptive adjectives. Mitch McConnell basically caved on the filibuster question. The filibuster question seems arcane and sort of this dry process related thing. But the fact that the existence of the filibuster now rides with the decision of Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, sort of is the 50th vote. That's an entirely different universe from having Mitch McConnell whipping up filibusters every time he sees fit. And so I see that, you can negotiate with a politician, right? I think Joe Manchin's a politician, right? So all this stuff about the sacredness of the filibuster, we need to do a show on the sort of segregationist roots of the filibuster, right? Because that's the whole thing is ugly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good things happening, right?
Yeah. It's a good week in climate.
Good week in climate, as we say. I'm going to quote Gina McCarthy and say, every day is a big day on Earth. Right? We are. So, we'll put up links. There's a ton of links. You may or may not get to read them, but we'll put them on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about what the president has done, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Of course, you're listening to the show on your smartphone, so tell your friends that they can listen to the show as well on their favorite smartphone using their favorite distribution app. We want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support to keep us well saturated with good ideas of things to talk about. We want to close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan. Hint, hint, Joe, that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. So, Mariah, thank you for being here on this happy day.
Oh, I am happy to be here on this happy day.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.